Zambia has an estimated 1.2 million children without parents. Little wonder it's been called the land of orphans. I am Rob West. AIDS accounts for the majority of Zambia's orphans, more than 700,000. Today I'll talk with Mario Zanstra about efforts to help these children and an amazing experience you can share. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, my friend and brother in Christ, Mario Zanstra, is our guest today. He's the president and CEO of Family Legacy Missions International, a ministry dedicated to helping Zambia's orphans. Mario, it's great to have you back, not just to the program, but back to the States. I know you're fresh off a trip to Zambia, aren't you?
Yes, I've been to Zambia 5 times in the last 15 months, and wow, the opportunity to impact these vulnerable and orphaned children is really a joy, an absolute joy.
Well, I know it is. I've actually experienced it with Family Legacy firsthand. Mario, I mentioned AIDS as perhaps the chief reason there are so many orphans in Zambia, but of course it's not the only one. What other factors contribute to this in Zambia?
Well, there's just an issue with respect to just men in Zambia. Men are not necessarily committed to the homes. They have an alcohol problem. They have an abandonment issue. It's a culture where men are basically absent. And so it kind of forces the care of the vulnerable and the orphaned on the caregiver, which is typically a female. Maybe the mom could be just an aunt or a grandma, somebody who steps in the gap.
I know you're motivated and inspired, Mario, by verses like James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. So tell us what Family Legacy does to help the orphans of Zambia.
Well, we do 4 specific things. One, we impact the kids and their families spiritually. We want them to know who Jesus is. We want them to understand the gospel. We want them to grow in their faith. If we do that, that's a huge step in the right direction. But we also feed the children. Every day they come to school, they get a meal. If they have perfect attendance, we give a food blessing to their families. We have a quad-certified infectious disease doctor that helps them with medical issues, including some that have AIDS. We have biblical, social, emotional learning, helping them unpack their trauma. And then we educate them. 14,000 kids in 22 schools. So we're impacting them, you know, body, mind, soul, and spirit. I mean, the whole deal, holistically.
It's incredible, the operation there by Family Legacy. Now, Mario, you recently had some American visitors who witnessed the impact of your ministry. Share that short story with us.
Well, we had some Americans come, and they spent some time in Zambia. And on Thursday, we went into town, and the Americans were going to share with the caregivers what they saw in the child they'd spent the last 4 days with. And this one American shared with the caregiver, I've seen Gladys. She's godly, she's courageous, and she's a servant. And the interpreter shared that with the caregiver, who was an aunt who has 5 kids in her home that are none of them are hers. Wow. And the caregiver begins to cry. And the interpreter says, "Why are you crying?" And she says, "Nobody says anything positive about our kids."
Wow.
We spoke identity into Gladys. That identity was shared with the caregiver. At the end, somebody pulled out an Evangel Cube, shared the gospel. Gladys's aunt came to Christ. On Tuesday, Gladys came to Christ. And so we think that whole family's been transformed. And then at the end, this little church, Chianda Church, the pastor got up there and said, "If you live in this community and you need a church home to know more about your relationship with Jesus, we meet at 9 o'clock and 11:30, and we would love for you to be here."
Wow, that's an incredible story. Well, I know there's many in our listening audience who want in on that, Mario. How can they support this work?
Well, there's 2 ways they can support it. One, we have a website called hopeforzambia.com/faithfi, and that allows people to give to scholarship funds for kids that are unsponsored. These 14,000 kids we have in the system, about 1,500 of them currently don't have sponsors, and this could provide scholarship funding. We also have the opportunity, and we're sold out for this summer, but next summer you can come, summer of 24, actually go to Zambia and meet 10 children that would have your name on their wrist and be part of this program called Camp Life. And you can go to the website and you can find out more at familylegacy.com.
Oh, I love it, Mario. Well, thanks for stopping by. We're so grateful for your time.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Rob.
That's Mario Zanstra, President and CEO of Family Legacy. You can find out more and sponsor one of these children at hopeforzambia.com/faithfi. That's hopeforzambia.com/faithfi. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If God is so great, why am I suffering? It's a question many of us have asked. Psalm 43:2 says, God is my stronghold. Why am I mourning? It shows that even when we feel rejected, we can turn to the Lord. But it's also a reminder that following God doesn't mean we'll always have an easy and trouble-free life. We will face trials and hardships, and sometimes it may feel like the Lord has left us. Yet even in those dark moments, we can trust that the Lord is with us and that He's working all things together for our good. Christ's love conquers all, even our fickle hearts and the hardships we face. His grace is absolutely sufficient. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions now on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. You know, here at Faith and Finance, we are all about living generous lives. That's right. When we think about the role that we have as stewards in managing God's money, it can be easy to start with our needs, to start with money being a way to provide for our families. And clearly it is. The challenge is if we start there, we can end up with an endless list of needs and wants that we never get beyond. And I think perhaps we miss the bigger opportunity, perhaps more of the design of God as our role as stewards, and that is to be generous, to participate in His work and activity, to meet the needs of the people on our path, and of course, to support the work of the local church. Well, we like to feature those giving opportunities that we feel like are really compelling from time to time, and we did that today as we had a chance chance to spend a few minutes with Mario Zanstra, my good friend and president and CEO of Family Legacy, really meeting the needs of the most vulnerable there in Zambia, Africa. And if you'd like to be a part in equipping and empowering Zambian children to reach their fullest potential and receive spiritual, also intellectual, emotional, and physical care, you can participate with them at Family Legacy. The website we gave, I gave slightly a wrong URL a moment ago if you tried that out. Just go to hopeforzambia.com/faith. That's hopeforzambia.com/faith, and you can find out how every child in Zambia can live their full God-given potential, and you can be a part of making it happen. Again, hopeforzambia.com/faith. All right, it's time to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial. The number to call today is 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Ohio. Carl, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi. Yes, I started listening to WCRF in Cleveland, and I noticed your financial program, and I could really use some help with our financial situation. Currently, we're senior citizens. We're both 76 years old, and the income we have is basically Social Security and a small pension. The wife and I have a small pension, and basically it adds up to about $46,752 yearly. We were doing fine. We were doing fine. I used to provide for my family when I was young, and then all of a sudden we're old, and we have a problem as far as with the inflation in regards to our home. We have a personal line of credit. Our mortgage, original mortgage, was paid off many years ago, but we accumulated debt using a personal line of credit. We're up to $88,000, and we were able to make payments and do fine until the inflation came around. The interest rates tripled. We used to pay 3.5%, and we're up to 7.8 now. Mm. And we used to pay like $250 a month on our equity line of credit, and now we're up to $750. And so I thought, well, I'll refinance. So I go to other banks, and it's even worse. It's like 8%. Yeah. And so I thought, wow, what do we do? And I thought about different ways, like a reverse mortgage, where we can keep the home that we have and not have to make payments. And the bank will get the house instead of the kids. The kids won't have anything anyways. And that was the one option. The other option is to sell our home, which is really a nightmare, because you don't know what the market is. One day it's up high, the other day it's down low or whatever. And it depends what city you're in. They're not straight across the United States. So the wife may want to live back in the old small town where she used to in Bucyrus, Ohio. But every time we call there, those marketing prices are completely different from Cleveland, the large city. And it's like crazy. We don't know what to put our house up on the market. The other option was to go to a independent living type thing, but they want all your money. And they says, yeah, but even if you run out of money with their independent living, that you can still live there. That didn't sound right to me. I don't know. So we don't know what to do, and we're looking to God for guidance. We have some small-term things that are helping us, the church is, and that is establishing a budget, which, shame on me, I didn't do. I was just automatic payments from the checking account. Now I'm handling all that and really looking at our small time of writing down what we spend and
sure.
how much income we have.
Let me ask you, Carl, what is that gap on a monthly basis between your income and what your expenses are to the best of your ability? Do you know what that shortfall is?
Say that again. I missed
what is
that.
The shortfall on a monthly basis between your income and what your expenses are?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, I'm just starting to work this out with a financial advisor with the church, and he told me to make a profit loss statement like that, income and expenses. And we're getting assistance. I'm a veteran, and we're getting assistance from the Veterans Administration,
okay.
which they're paying our utilities and they're paying our utilities and giving us food. I mean,
well, here's the thing. I mean, these are big decisions that you're making, and it's got to be driven first by what is the current state of your financial life, most notably on the income and spending side. And so we've got to develop that budget. I'm glad to hear you're on the way toward doing that, but we've got to determine what is that gap. And to the extent we feel like that gap is short term, because we expect interest rates will reverse course. Now, the timing is only anybody's guess, but the Fed is focused on keeping rates up to slow the economy until inflation is in check. They will turn and start to head back down probably later this year, sometime into early next year. The question is, what is your staying power? And then you need to put that alongside kind of your goals and plans with regard to this next season of life. Do you, in fact, want to relocate anyway? And if so, this would be a great time to go ahead and sell, especially now during the spring home buying season, pre-recession, which most economists think we're heading into, while people are trying to get situated in their new homes prior to the next year's school year. This would be a great time to sell and look at relocating either to another single family home, a condo, or an assisted living facility, maybe where you could buy in, but you have the option to have more skilled care along the way as you need it. I've got a family member who just moved into one of those. She's in her own place, but there's the opportunity to go to assisted living or even full nursing, and it's the same monthly payment for the rest of her life. So I think you need to follow through on that that process of getting the budget in place first. And once you know exactly what you have in terms of a shortfall, give me a call back and we'll take it from there. Thanks for your call, Carl. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice. Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
So thankful you've joined us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, today we're putting a spotlight on the incredible work of Family Legacy in Zambia. If you'd like to help Zambian orphans reach their full God-given potential with support that provides spiritual, intellectual, emotional, and physical care, you can partner with Family Legacy to do just that with a gift as small as $25. $25 provides care for a child in Zambia, and Family Legacy is making that work possible. I've actually been there in Zambia with Family Legacy to see the schools, to see the work that's being done to provide for the needs of these beautiful and amazing Zambian orphans, and it's incredible what God is up to in that part of the world. So if you'd like to be a part of it, you can check out more at hopeforzambia.com/faith. And we're delighted to be able to tell you about this incredible ministry today on the program. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-525-7000. Give us a call. We're going to head to Texas. Hey, Matt, how can we help you?
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to get your opinion or recommendation regarding some income property we have still in California. It's a duplex, fair amount of equity, and actually has a fair amount of yearly income too as well. But you know, we've been in Texas now for almost 8 years, and one unit is available for rent. And so before we rent it out, we're seriously considering maybe a good time to sell.
Yes.
So we've been kind of going back and forth, and haven't really found a tenant yet. So maybe it's meant to be that, you know, it's taken so long to find a tenant. Maybe, you know, it gives us time to evaluate selling.
Yeah, very good. So tell me the criteria you're using to evaluate this decision. I mean, obviously, there's the first question, do you want to be a landlord? Second, do you want to be an absentee landlord where you're living in a state, you know, pretty far away? Thirdly, there's just the financial return on it. You know, is it performing for you? And is it a good investment? You know, there's a host of considerations. So talk to me about kind of the most significant things for you all as you evaluate this?
Well, kind of all of the above, pretty much all you just described is kind of maybe what's helping us or making us decide to maybe sell. I don't want to be an absentee landlord, and, I'm in Texas. I don't want to be flying to California if need be. California is a blue state.
Yeah.
And kind of I sense, you know, going forward, you know, tenants can have more rights than landlords. You know, the risk of getting a bad tenant. Plus, there's an HOA involved, and you know, there's concerns over the how well the HOA is being operated. And we did a fair amount of investment into the property to get it ready for rent. And maybe like, well, it's just the unit's the best it's ever been. You know, might as well, you know, use that as a benefit to selling it. You know,
yes.
Before things start to break again.
Yeah, very good. Well, I think this is a great time to sell. I mean, the housing market has remained strong. We haven't seen much softening in it. Now, it's clearly moved from a buyer's to a seller's market in the sense that whereas you might have had 30-plus offers on a home within 24 to 48 hours and bidding wars, now we might have 10 to 15 offers, and you know, you might entertain, a seller might entertain a contingency on a mortgage pre-approval or a home sale, another property sale, whereas, you know, a year ago they wouldn't have. It was just too strong of a market. They had plenty of options to take all cash offers with no contingencies. So because of the higher interest rates, because of the fact that we're headed toward, a recession in all likelihood, we have seen this shift to a buyer's market. Now, despite that, prices have really remained strong. Certain pockets of the country, of course, are exception. We've got a lot of people moving out of California into Texas in particular. But, we still see a relatively robust housing market just because there's a reality, and that is there's a shortage of 2 to 3 million homes in this country because the millennials are reaching age 30 and buying single family homes and having families. And we've got people moving into suburban areas and buying single family homes because they're working remotely now. And so you've got a number of factors that have created, you know, still a significant demand despite some of the challenges we have going on economically. So I think for that reason, plus the fact that you're inclined to no longer be a landlord, you know, several states away where you can't put eyes on it and it's more difficult to get things fixed. And, you know, what about marketing it and keeping it rented? Not to mention the fact that all that might become even more difficult if we were to head into a recession that's a little deeper than some expect. So I think for that reason, this is a great time, especially right now in the spring with this being home buying season, for you to go ahead and list this, find a competent realtor who can help you stage it, get it ready. Obviously, you'll have to deal with the current lessee. You can still sell a property in most states, and most states require you to the current tenant to, you know, continue to rent the property until the lease or rental agreement expires, even after the sale. So you'll have to deal with that piece of it. But the buyer may love the idea that there's a current lessee that they can, you know, have 50% of it already rented out to create income. So I think this is a great opportunity for you to sell, just given everything I've heard.
Yeah. But another part of it, though, too, to kind of get your opinion on is, you know, it's a fair amount of equity and then, a fair amount of capital gains. You know, 1031 versus just paying the taxes. And, you know, one thought I have is that, you know, I'd like to make more, you know, more investment in Texas. You know, maybe buy something, you know, buy some land or buy something else in Texas to kind of,
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. So the 1031 exchange will kind of kick the can down the road on that capital gain. So you can take 100% of your proceeds, roll it into another property. As long as it's another investment property, you have two deadlines with that. You've got to identify the replacement property within 45 days, and then you have to acquire it within 180. But as long as you do that with a similar property, I like that idea. I like real estate alongside perhaps other assets like stocks and bonds in a retirement account as an overall diversified portfolio for your future. I hope that helps you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. We've got some lines open for your questions. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Godlessness is overtaking every institution, every platform, every square inch of our culture. Because something in us is broken.
Dr. David Jeremiah presents a biographical prophecy, End Times People, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we accept our role as stewards or managers of the King of Kings resources, wanting to be and desiring to be found faithful as we hold God's money loosely and live appropriately. We're tackling your financial questions today, helping you apply biblical wisdom and themes from Scripture to the decisions and choices you're making every day. So what are you thinking about today? Is it living, giving, owing, or growing your God's money? We'd love to talk about it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Hey, let me mention, as we head toward June the 30th, which is the fiscal year end here at Faith and Finance, we could use your financial support. If you'd like to be a part of funding this work for another 12 months of ministry, you count on this broadcast and you've benefited from it in some way, we'd invite you to be a financial supporter. You can do that with any amount, and we mean that. It's all helpful. You can make your gift online at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. Thanks in advance. Hey, before we take a few more phone calls, and by the way, we do have a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Let me address the topic of how much is enough briefly. You know, the great Christian apologist and author G.K. Chesterton once wrote, there are two ways to get enough. One is to continue to accumulate more and more. The other is to desire less. You know, a secular worldview tells us that more is always better, so there's no end to accumulation. The Christian worldview, on the other hand, turns that idea upside down. You see, according to Chesterton, enough isn't about getting more. Perhaps it's about wanting less. So how do we apply that to money matters? How much is enough, really? Well, first, we need to understand the difference between needs and wants. Believers in Christ serve a God who promises to supply our needs. In Matthew 6, he says, and he reminds his listeners not to be anxious about these things. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not more valuable? Are you not more valuable than they? You see, this means when we put Jesus first, we will always have enough of what we need to live, and we can trust God to know what that is. Where people get confused, perhaps, is in the matter of wants and desires, the things that are not essential for survival. How much is enough of those? Well, that's really a matter of priorities. You see, if we seek first the kingdom, he either exists and is sovereign, or he doesn't exist and you're on your own. Once you commit to following Christ, which we all should do, and that free gift is there for us to accept, well, we have to admit that God is sovereign, and that changes everything. You see, placing the Lord first means acknowledging his ownership of everything. And as the Holy Spirit works in your heart, your motivation to accumulate gradually changes. And by the grace of God, it moves from a self-centered approach to a God-centered approach. You see, when Jesus is the Lord of your life, your idea of enough begins to change too, because you're trusting God to meet your needs and your desires start to line up with what God wants. You begin to desire less of worldly things. And all of this is a part of the miraculous heart change that happens when God gets a hold of you. So while the worldly person is asking, how can I get more? The Christian begins asking, how can I serve more with what God has provided? You see, God gives us the ability to make money through skilled work and business ownership and investing and other righteous means. These are gifts from the Lord, and they're to be used for kingdom work, from taking care of our families, churches, employees, and communities, to serving those in need around the world, like we've been talking about with Zambian orphans today. So no matter how much you have, the principles are the same. Everything belongs to the Lord. God has placed where you are for his sovereign reasons, because he loves you and has important kingdom work for you to do. So perhaps you can think about that and realize that following Christ is the way to peace, joy, and the abundant life. So when we ask how much is enough, we may actually be asking the wrong question. For believers, Christ followers, the real question is, who is enough? I hope that's an encouragement to you today. All right, we're going to head back to the phones and take your calls and questions. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Joe. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm 77 years old, and I'll be 78 in July, and my wife and I have a home that we originally bought back in the late 60s and lived in for over 50 years. And we have that home outright, and we was going to rent it out. And I was thinking, it came to my mind about selling it and possibly holding the note on it ourselves, and let the money and the interest come to us, you know.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know what all would be involved in that and what would be the scoop on that.
Yes, sir. Well, I think the first question is, do you want to sell? And if you do, where would you go? Have you all talked about that? Where would you live if you sold this property?
Well, we have another house that we've bought that we went in with my daughter and bought a house, and it had an in-law suite. And my daughter and us are living in the same house.
Okay. All right.
We both still have our original houses. My wife and I and my daughter had her own house.
Okay. Very good. And that would be a sufficient long-term solution for you?
Well, yes. I've got another thing, a second part of the question I wanted to ask you. I've got about 170 or 75,000 in the bank that's just in like a savings account. I need to, for that to be making more money. I mean, you know, a higher interest or something.
Yes, sir. So this, what is the purpose of this money? Is it money you need to access relatively quickly, or is it longer term?
It's longer term. I haven't been accessing that, which was in the bank. I have another account that we access sometimes, and it's got about 20. I looked last month. I think it had 22,000 or 22,000 in it.
Okay, very good. Well, a couple of thoughts on both of these. Let's start with the idea of you selling. I think you all need to think through whether you're happy with this long-term solution of you moving into this other property. If so, it could be a great opportunity to sell the existing home. If you've lived there 2 out of the last 5 years, which it sounds like you've lived there a lot longer than that, then you have the opportunity to not pay any capital gains up to $500,000 as a married couple in gains. So, you know, if no matter what you sell it for, the gain is determined by the selling price minus the original purchase price. As long as that gain doesn't go over $500,000, you won't have to pay any capital gains. If it does, then you would. And in terms of you holding that mortgage, I'm not a big fan of that. You know, there's a risk of the buyer defaulting on the mortgage, and then you're going to have to go through, you know, the foreclosure process. It's hard for you to conduct due diligence on potential buyers. They may damage or make changes that devalue the property. And then you've got to service the loan by collecting those mortgage payments and paying the property taxes. So I'd probably stay away from that. Let's pick this up after the break, Joe. Stay on the line.
Do you see yourself too sinful for God to care? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
You know, one of the big reasons why people have a love problem with the Lord is because they haven't received His love for them. They don't really compute that. They don't really believe that God could really and truly love them without conditions. But He does.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Men and women are different. There's just no doubt about it. And when those differences erupt in marriage, you may wonder why you fell in love in the first place. Next time on Focus on the Family, Bill and Pam Farrell explain how gender differences can make your relationship stronger. You'll learn how next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. We're talking with Joe in Virginia. Just before the break, he was telling us about a property that he has, and he's considering selling it. They've had it for 50 years, and he was considering not only selling it, but considering holding the mortgage on the sale. And Joe, I was saying we need to first think through where you'd go and whether you're happy with that option. Number two, you have the benefit of missing up to $500,000 in capital gains. And then number three, I'm not a big fan of you holding that mortgage just because of some of the challenges related to that. But before we answer your second question, give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I hadn't thought about the complications of, you know, if you had to foreclose and, of course, I suppose you'd get the house back if you had to foreclose on it, but.
Yeah, it can be challenging, though. So I'd probably, if I were you and you wanted to be in the real estate business, I'd probably go ahead and sell this and maybe buy another piece of property and then let them get their, you know, go out and get renters and be a landlord and use that to generate income as opposed to trying to, offer debt to someone. With regard to the funds that you have available, the $170,000, I would say let's set aside at least 6 months' worth of expenses and liquid savings, and then if you had beyond that funds that you didn't need, you could consider, you know, begin deploying an investment strategy, very conservative, just given your age, you know, where maybe you have 20 or 30% in stocks for some growth, but you have the lion's share of it, 70 to 80% in bonds. And you could generate a good income, have a less volatile portfolio, but still grow it for the future. So if you need it down the road for, you know, long-term care, nursing home, or you wanted to provide it as an inheritance, you'd have something to be able to do that with. So I think, you know, that would be something to consider. And if you needed an advisor for that, Joe, you could head to our website if you're comfortable using the internet, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. And that's the designation we trust for professionals that have been vetted, they've been trained, they share your values, they'll bring a biblical worldview of money management to their financial advice. Okay?
Okay, okay. That would be great. I can rent this house for right now for about $1,700 a month.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that would be another great option there, too. I like that option a lot. As long as you go into this with your eyes wide open about what it takes to be a landlord and just the, you know, you're going to have to make sure you either have a property management company or somebody that can step in when there's a plumbing issue or an electrical issue or something needs repair, and you got to keep the place rented and marketed and all of that. I'm not trying to discourage you. I actually like real estate investing as a part of your overall portfolio. You know the house well, obviously, but if it's older and it's going to need some repairs, you're going to have to stay on top of that. So I just kind of think and pray through that before you make a final decision. Joe, thanks for being on the program, sir. We're grateful. To Mississippi, hi, Brad. How can we help you?
Hello. I had a 401k retirement question. My funds are invested primarily in stocks right now. And with the impending possible recession, should I move that money more to bonds? I have two bond options, and the rest is all stock options.
Yeah. What's the current allocation between stocks and bonds, Brad, roughly?
It's roughly about 75% into the stocks, 25% into the bond market.
All right. And how much is the portfolio down at this point from its high watermark?
Well, I lost about 20% last year, and this year I'm up just maybe a percent or two, very little, actually.
All right. But you haven't made many changes since you lost the 20%?
I haven't made any.
Okay. And what is your time horizon, Brad, on needing this money?
Well, I'm 51 right now, so I really don't anticipate needing it for another 14 or 15 years. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, if it were me, just given how much time you have, I would probably just sit tight with what you've got. Although I think bonds will do well. Last year was tough for stocks and bonds as interest rates were rising, the bond prices were falling. Now we've got the higher yields and we'll get the price appreciation as interest rates fall. But given the time horizon you have, I don't want you to lock in the losses on those stocks and miss the recovery. Even though we're headed into a recession and we're probably going to retest our October 2022 lows, we have in every recession that we've ever had, we hit the bottom of a bear market during the recession, not before it. So we could expect that we'll retest those lows at some point. But I wouldn't try to time it. That's just a losing proposition. You try to get out and then figure out your entry point. It's just nearly impossible to do. So I think for that reason, as long as you've got the time on your side, and you do, I would stay the course and recognize that you're going to have to stomach potentially more downside, but it will recover probably later this year, early next year, and it'll move to new highs. And you need to count on that continued compounding effect of the growth And we go through these recessions. These are cyclical. They do happen, but we always get through them and we always move to new highs. And once we are in the recession, we can see the end of it. We know if the Fed is going to start to lower interest rates, I think this market is going to take off. We have some bigger issues in this country economically, but those I think are much further down the road. I think for now, your best place to overcome the effects of inflation and grow this wealth to have a decent nest egg in the future is to stay invested in stocks and bonds. And I think getting out right now would allow you or cause you to miss the recovery, which I certainly don't want for you.
Well, great. I really appreciate it.
All right, Brad, we appreciate your call today, my friend. Thanks for being on the program. You know, as we think about investing, so much of our investing decisions, especially if we're managing our investments ourselves as opposed to hiring an advisor, can be out of fear and emotions. You know, we get caught up in the 24-hour financial media news cycle, and we start to think about, you know, the hard-earned money that we have, and we see that statement declining month after month, and we think, I've got to make a change. I've got to move to something more conservative, and we forget all the months, you know, the 12 years prior to this where, you know, every statement was up and, you know, you could kind of throw a dart and, you know, stocks were increasing. And, you know, we recognize that we do go through these periods. I mean, you know, we hit recessions just about every decade and they all have different reasons and causes. But the key is to stay focused on our plan. You know, what is our time horizon? Why do we have the allocation we have? And, you know, let's stay for the long term. We really need a rules-based approach to investing that's not dictated by the shifting sands and the volatility of the market, but really has a well-thought-out plan that we can stay committed to in the good markets and the bad, knowing that the data is on our side, that if we have a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio, not taking unnecessary risk, that that will lead to us having the ability to overcome the effects of inflation and the loss of purchasing power and ultimately build a nest egg that allows us to fund that next season of life in retirement. Not so we can just sit on the front porch, so we can move away from paid work when that time comes. Perhaps we have to, but pursue the next project that God has for us, knowing that he has a calling on our lives, and that doesn't expire at 65, despite what the world might tell us. You know, this modern idea of retirement that, we have an expiration date does not follow a biblical worldview. You know, we see in God's word, apart from a very narrow instance with the Levitical priests, that, you know, our calling to be workers is throughout the whole of our lives. And we're to be in service to God, which means that we should retire to something and not from something. But we do need to be saving appropriately along the way, which, you know, takes us back to what I was sharing a bit earlier about answering this question, how much is enough? You know, it's really critical that we have a goal in mind that's thoughtful, that we've prayed over, but takes into account some real planning. And that's where I think the counsel of a certified kingdom advisor can be invaluable, not only in managing assets, but really on the planning side as well, to say, what lifestyle has God called us to? I think that's a question each of us have to answer. And that how much is enough question needs to be applied not only to our accumulation, our balance sheet, what is our ultimate goal for savings? It's not mindless, it's intentional, but it also needs to apply to our spending. How much is enough for our lifestyle? And that's a question we each need to ask and answer on our knees. And if you're married together as husband and wife, Lord, how much is enough for us? What have you called us to? And to the extent we cap enough, then as God provides beyond that, well, it gives us an opportunity to do even greater giving, which is going to bring us full circle back to where we started the program today as we talked about generosity. Today, we're shining a light on an incredible ministry that I've had the privilege of experiencing firsthand. It's the Ministry of Family Legacy, serving the vulnerable and the orphans, over 1.2 million orphans in Zambia, providing hope through spiritual and intellectual, emotional, and physical care. So if you'd like to partner with Family Legacy to support one of these amazing, gorgeous little ones over in Zambia who are orphaned, you can do that by visiting hopeforzambia.com/faith. That's hopeforzambia.com/faith. hopeforzambia.com/faith. And with a gift of as little as $25, you can help to support the work of Family Legacy in supporting one child there who's been orphaned. What an incredible opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus in all of our giving. And this is just one of those opportunities we're shining a light on today. All right, folks, thanks for being along with us. It's been my privilege to come alongside you, hopefully to be an encouragement, but always to help you look to Scripture, God's Word, as the source for all living, including our financial management. Thank you to Pat Montague, Robert Sutherland, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without him. Have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.